which is relates a little bit to Yerushalayim in the lead up to Yom Yerushalayim. I know that today's Lag BaOmer, so maybe I should be talking about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but I wasn't sure that I had anything so original to say about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai beyond the story of the cave. So I figured that instead of trying to force something out of Lag BaOmer, I would teach something different about Yom Yerushalayim. And I think maybe part of the idea, hi Rebecca, maybe part of the idea of the Shiurim could be to connect us back to Israel. And so Yerushalayim seems to me possibly a good theme. So I know, for those who don't know me, my name's Alex Israel. I taught in Lindenbaum way back when. Haven't taught there for many, many years, and I've been teaching there the last couple of years. So for those of you who haven't encountered me in Lindenbaum, anyway, it's good to be here, and welcome to my study, which is I think where we're all studying at the moment. Okay, let's talk about Yerushalayim. And what I think I wanted to talk about, what I want to try and discuss, is the nature of Yerushalayim in an interesting dialectical way in Tanakh. And of course, the first mention of Yerushalayim might well be here in Bereishit Perek Yud Dalet. It's the scene where Avraham has just defeated the kings from Mesopotamia, the four kings who had attacked the valley of Sodom. And this is when Lot was taken captive. And Avraham has defeated the enemy and comes back from war, maybe leading all the prisoners of war with all the booty. It must have been quite a moment, because at this point, Avraham is almost like the warlord. He has really had a major victory against a foreign power who absolutely ransacked the five towns around Sodom. And so let's take a look at this particular text here, Bereishit Perek Yud Dalet. It says here, Avram returned back all of the human capital, all of the rechush, and he's come back from war victorious. And now we're going to see something really interesting. He is greeted by two kings. You can see it, Pasuk Yud Zayin, and then Pasuk Yud Chet. Melech Sodom comes out to meet him. Now, what's interesting about Melchizedek's appearance is that look at Pasuk Chaf Aleph. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph, there is a conversation between Melech Sodom and Avram. In other words, if we wanted to organize this differently, we would go straight from Pasuk Yud Zayin to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Melech Sodom comes out. Avram has a conversation with him. And then maybe he'll talk to Melchizedek afterwards. However, we see these two kings come out, Melchizedek, right? Melchizedek, here you can see the translation here of the JPS here. King Melchizedek of Salem, of Shalem, right? Two kings come out, and it's almost as if Melchizedek is an interruption in the arrival of Melech Sodom. So let's see what happens. I'm sure you know the parsha, but let's try and see what happens. Again, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayitzei Melech Sodom likratoh acharei shuvo miyakodesh kedor omer, v'et ha-melachim asher ito elem et shaveihu amen. When you read that pasuk, you realize that they're coming out to meet Avraham as I said it, the warlord, the victorious war leader. But then, O Melchizedek, Melech Shalem, hotzi lechem v'yayin. Melchizedek brings out bread and wine, and we hear that he's a Kohen Le'el Elyon. Vayevarachehu, vayomar Baruch Avram Le'el Elyon. What else does he do apart from bringing out bread and wine? he blesses Avram and says, Avram is blessed. Le'el Elyon, Koneh Shamayim Va'aretz. By the way, in this context, Koneh does not mean to acquire. It actually means to create, the creator of heaven and earth. And of course, you will know that we use this on Friday night in Magen Avot. We use this phrase, Koneh Shamayim Va'aretz. Uvaruch El Elyon Hashem Yigein Tzarecha B'yadecha. And blessed should be the Most High God who delivered your enemies in your hands. It's not clear who gives Maaseh to who, but since Melchizedek is a Kohen, maybe Avram gave him Maaseh. So what's happening here? Who is this Melchizedek? If you look down at the Ramban, source number 1b, okay, it says here, Melchizedek Melech Shalem, first of all, what's Shalem? Yerushalayim. Kinyan Shine'emar, as it says in Tehillim, Vayihi B'Shalem Sukkah. That God's sukkah, his Mishkan, is in a place called Shalem, Yerushalem, Ir Shalem. O Malka, Yikare Gambi Me Yoshua Adoni Tzedek. If you open the book of Yoshua, the king of Yerushalem is called Adoni Tzedek. And here we have Malki Tzedek. You know, it's interesting, the king of the Philistines is always called Abimelech, and the king of Egypt is always called Pharaoh, and the king of Aram is always called Ben-Hadad, even though they're not related to each other. So we find that they're a sort of classic title. So he says, the king of Yerushalayim is always called, here he's called Malki Tzedek, there in Yoshua, Adoni Tzedek. By the way, in Shoftim, he's called Adoni Bezek, which I don't know quite how to square with that, but okay. Ki me'az yadu hagoyim, because from then all the nations knew ki ha-makom ahu, Mivchar Makomot, the Yerushalayim was a special place, Pensa Yishuv. O Shiyadu Shima'alato B'Kabbalah Mechuvan Kenega Beit HaMikdash Shomala. Or they understood some spiritual propensity in Yerushalayim. Shesham Shinato Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenikra Tzedek. In other words, there is something godly about Jerusalem. I don't know if we want to go as far as the Ramban, that did they know the spiritual, you know, gravitas of Jerusalem, but there certainly seems to be some Masoret, some tradition of tzedek, of law, of justice, which characterizes Yerushalayim, and Malki Tzedek would appear to be a believer in the El Elyon. He seems to be a monotheist. Now, why am I so interested in Malki Tzedek here and in this scene? Because let's take a look how the scene ends. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Remember, Melchizedek comes out and brings out stuff. Notice the first words of Melech Sedom. Ten li ha-nefesh baruch hu shkach lach. Give me the people and you can take all the money. Melech Sedom obviously realizes that Avram, as the warlord, could take everything. So he says, tries to cut a deal and says, give me my people back and you can take all the money. And what does Avram say? Avram says to Melech Sedom, Hari moti yadi el Hashem el Elyon, Koneh Shamayim Va'aretz, im michut v'atzroch na'al v'imekach mikol ha-sherach. From a string to a shoelace, I won't take anything. V'lo tomar ani hesharti et Avram, and I don't want you to say that I made Avram rich. V'ladai rak ha-sheachlu ha-na'arim v'chelek ha-nashim ha-sheachlu iti. In other words, the people who came to war with me, Aner Eshkol Mamre, should take their expenses, pay for my soldiers, but don't pay anything to me. By the way, Rav Yoel Ben Nun says, you see the translation here, as much as a thread or a sandal strap, right? This is a little strange, right? It's like me saying, I wouldn't take a scrap or a morsel. Rav Yoel Ben Nun says something much nicer. He says, Michut Atzroch Mal. The chut is the string on your kafia, which holds your kafia on the string. Srochnal is your foot, is your shoelace. So from top to toe, I won't take anything from you, says Malkisa, says Avraham. Now, I portrayed it that Avraham sort of meets two kings. First, Melech Sedom comes out, and then out comes Malkisedek, and then we go back to Melech Sedom. What's going on with the ordering here? And I'd sort of like to say the following. Please do note, Pasuk, I underlined it in Pasuk Chafbet, that when he makes a statement to Mel Sedom, look what he says. I raise my hand, I take an oath. El Hashem, Yudke Vavke, that's Avram's name for God. El Elyon, Kunei Shemai Varet, that's Malki Tzedek's name for God. In other words, when he calls God Hashem El Elyon, Kunei Shemai Varet, he's sort of aligning himself with Malki Tzedek. And he is very clearly, by saying, I won't take a penny from you, is saying, I will not have anything to do with you, Melech Sedom. So what's the power of this scene? I would argue like this. You know, Abraham walks through Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha, leching, going, walking. And Abraham is always unstable. He doesn't have a land. He doesn't have the ability to have children, or so it would seem. Even Lot leaves him. He's having a very hard time. He has no stability. In fact, immediately after this perek, in Perek Tetlav, he turns around to God and says, Anochi holech aruri, I am back, I don't have children. And what about all your promises, God? You know, I'm sure everybody knows, you know, the famous joke, somebody's looking for a parking place. And he says, God, God, please give me a parking place. Please give me a parking place. And then somebody pulls out and he says, okay, it's okay, God, I found one. The question is whether we see, right, the acts which happen around us as coming from God, right? And Avram could say, look, you promised me the land. I've just defeated the four kings. I will now be the leader. I will be the leader of these five cities in Sodom. This is my Yerusha. This is going to be my first foothold in Eretz Israel, and then I'll capture more land, and I'll capture more land. Avram might have thought in his mind, wait, when Hashem said, Lezarachai, Tenet, Eretz Azot, he meant now. I went in to save Lot, and I've been given the land of Sodom. And yet, there's something about the appearance of Malki Tzedek, the my king is the king of justice, reminding Avraham that Hashem is the God of justice. And apparently now the asimon drops, the penny drops that Avram cannot associate with Sodom. Sodom is a thoroughly evil place. And we see that if you look down to source number 2, look at Pasuk Gimel, Van Shei Sodom Ra'im V'Chata'im Lashem Ma'od. Right? If you look in source number 3, as many people talk about, the name of the king of Sodom is Bera, the evil one. And the name of the king of Amorah is Birsha, Beresha. And the name of the Melech of the fifth of the third city is Shinav, Sonei Aviv Shebashamayim, Rashi says. The notion of, Bela, Melech Bela, Hutzoar, Tzoar, the king of Bela means folly, stupidity, nonsense. We have this situation where it seems like the Valley of Sodom is a very evil place. And I would argue that Malki Tzedek comes just in time. Malki Tzedek comes just in time to remind Avraham of who he is. He's telling Avraham that he needs to know that he is affiliated with Tzedek, and that it is not power history, which is the important thing here. You know, maybe let's take a look back in source number 2 here and remind ourselves how Sodom is described, right? You remember this scene. Sodom was amazing. It was had a river running through it. It's like Gan Eden. It's like the Garden of Eden. It's like Egypt. Now, let's deal with the comparison between Sodom and Egypt. Hi, Talia. Shalom. By the way, for all the people who have joined, I sent a sheet out. I hope Cheryl sent it out. Do people have the sheet? Okay, we're good with the sheet. If you want, I can share it. If anybody needs it, just write in the chat and I'll put it into the chat. But Cheryl should have sent out the source sheet in whatever forum that she does. What do we know about Egypt until this point? Egypt's amazing. It's got a river running through it. But whenever you're a visitor in Egypt, what happens? Well, let's take Avram's experience in Egypt. What happens in Egypt? Egypt, who are very wealthy, don't say, what can we do for you? They say, what can you do for us? In other words, what do they do? They say, let me take your wife. Sodom too. Sodom is a very wealthy place. Sodom, by the way, is what do they want to do? They want to preserve their wealth because they're in a beautiful sunny valley by the river. They can, like Egypt, they can take all the water from the field, from the river, and water their fields, and therefore they're very wealthy. So they don't want visitors. When visitors come, they're always nervous. Why are they trying to take our wealth? Ooh, they're trying to take our stuff. And therefore, what do? They don't allow you to feed visitors. When Lot comes along and tries to feed the visitors, they say, who the heck are your guests? Bring them out. And what do they want to do? Hotziah na elenu v'neida'ah. Bring them out so that we can, and we know v'neida'ah is a sexual v'neida'ah. We want to abuse them. In other words, don't ask what we can do for you. Ask what you can do for us. How can you provide for us? Right? And this is indeed, there's a famous Nitziv on Azibazim Susvarochvor Amavayam, where the Nitziv says Egypt was all about Susvarochvor. It was all about how can I dominate you. It was about riding the horse. It was about making sure that anybody who is in our orbit is controlled by us. And that seems to be what is in common between Egypt, the riverlands of Egypt, and Sodom, that they are environments which are very wealthy and they don't welcome guests because precisely they don't want to share their wealth. By the way, Avram's the opposite. Avram opens his tent up and says, how can I feed you? Right? Lot is learned from Avraham. He's a different animal. So let's try and summarize what we've said here. We have said, and we'll come back to the Gan Eden comparison. Of course, by the way, the comparison with Gan Eden, look at source number two, is that Gan Eden also has these rivers coming from it. Gan Eden is the riverland, but we'll come back to that in a few minutes. So what do I want to say? In this very interesting scene, Avram has won a war, and he could decide to join, if you want, power history. He could join the history of the winners, of the people who have power, who have excised, gone into battle and won. And winner takes all. He could decide to become the king of the five cities of the Jordan Valley, which seemed to be even possibly a divine mandate. God had said, Zarachai tenet ha'aretz hazot, and now he has it. And yet, he doesn't do this. Why? Because at the critical moment, Melchizedek reminds him that as a monotheist, he has to be sworn to Tzedek, and that the atmosphere of Sodom and Amorah is anything but Tzedek, right? It is not justice. It is certainly not, Tzedek is an interesting word, I have to say. Tzedek is justice. Tzedek is also tzedakah, kindness. Mishpat is usually justice, right? Chesed is usually kindness. Tzedek is like loving justice, which is loving. He reminds Avram that he should be affiliated with him, with the one God. In other words, we've got Yerushalayim, and I'll say Yerushalayim is the high place. Sodom is the lowest place in the land of Israel. Interesting that, right? Yerushalayim is right on the crest of the hill, on the highest place, just before the hills roll down to Sodom. Sodom, 400 meters below sea level, right? And Yerushalayim represents justice, Malki, Tzedek represents monotheism, and Sodom represents corruption, represents not Tzedek, which is about being equitable, being fair. It's not fair. It sees a guest and it says, wait, we will make sure that we suck you dry of everything that you have. We will dominate you sexually, we'll dominate you, or whatever it might be. Okay. Avram has a choice. He chooses Yerushalayim. He chooses Malkitzedek. He chooses monotheism. He chooses justice. That's Avram's choice. I'd like to argue that this relationship between Sodom and Yerushalayim is not a fixed relationship. And in fact, it is quite intensely fluid. Now, let's see what I mean. If you look at source number 5, Yeshayahu, we will see that there are times when Yerushalayim becomes Sodom. And if we look at, we're going to look at source number, 6 and 7, we're going to see there are times when Sodom can become Yerushalayim. In other words, these aren't just fixed geographical markers, but I think it was, now I'm forgetting who said that you can make a heaven out of hell and a hell out of heaven, right? I think it was John Milton, if I'm not mistaken, who said that everything's in the mind and you can make a heaven out of hell and a hell out of heaven. But literally, you can make a Sodom out of Yerushalayim and Yerushalayim out of Sodom. What do I mean? Well, of course, let's take a look at source number 5, one of the famous prakim in Yeshayahu, because it is obviously read as a Haftorah, Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av. And of course, what do we see there, right? Shimu Shamayim, Hazinu Aretz, Gershem Dider, Banim Gidalti Bomanti Behem Pashubi. And, you know, we're going to skip to, let's take a look. Pasuk Tet, okay? Lulei Hashem Sva'ot Hotir Lanu Sarid Kimat Kisedom Hayinu Ka'amor Adaminu. He's saying that after the Assyrians have gone through the country, everything's destroyed apart from Yerushalayim, and we are almost as destroyed as Sodom the Amorah, right? We are almost as destroyed as Sodom the Amorah. But now look what he says. You know why we've been destroyed almost like Sodom Amorah? And I'll go back to Pasuk Chet, right? Notra batzion kesuka bakerem kemelunaba miksha keir natura. You know why? And by the way, we know from Assyrian sources that Assyria destroyed 46 walled cities in Yehuda, and the only city which was left was Yerushalayim. Why did Yehuda suffer such destruction? Why is it almost destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah, almost overturned as if there's nothing left? Because, look at Pasuk Yud, Shimu Devar Hashem Ketzinei Sodom, Azinu Torat Eloheinu Am Amorah. Right? Listen to the words of God, you rulers of Sodom. Hear the Torah of Hashem, you people of Amorah. Who are the people of Sodom and Amorah here? The people of Yerushalayim. And now he says, Lama li rotiv chaychem? Why do I want to listen to your korbanot? I don't like your korbanot. I hate you. I hate your korbanot. Why? Let's see. Because he says, let's look at Pasuk Tetavav. Uvafarid shprem kapichem. And when you hold up your hands in tefillah, Alim einai mikem. I am going to ignore you. Gam ki tarbu tefillah einani shomea. Even if you pray to me, I won't listen. You know why? Yadeichem damim maleu. Your hands are filled with blood. Whose blood? Let's see. He says, Rachatsu, cleanse yourself. Hizaku, purify yourself. Asiru ram aleichem. Mineged einai. Chidlu harea. Stop being evil. Limdu heitev. Dirshu mishpat. Right? Seek justice. Ishru chamot. Shiftu yatom ribu almanah. Judge the lot of the widow and the orphan. Now, what's happening in Yerushalayim that they're called Kitzinei Sodom, Amamorah, that their hands are filled with blood, that they are not looking out for the Atom Amana? What's happening here? Look at the next Pesukim. Pasuk Chafalf. Eicha haita lezona kirya ne'emana. Extreme word. Yerushalayim used to be the kirya ne'emana, the loyal city. Used to be Mileti Mishpat. Tzedek Yalimba, I thought Yerushalayim should be the city of Mishpat and Tzedek, but now people are getting killed there. Yerushalayim is like a zonah, like a prostitute. I'll come back to that metaphor in a minute. Why? Because Kaspei Hayta L'Sigim, Haya L'Sigim, your silver has been rubbed down. Saveich Mahul B'Mayim. Okay, your wine is mixed with water. Sarayach Sorim V'Chavrei Ganavim Kula Abu Shochad. All of your officers like a good bride. Let me explain what we mean by that. You know, if you have a government official who likes bribes, what's going to happen? I don't know. Let's say he's the Minister of Industry. He's responsible for industry. So he's got to decide public funds and how to use public funds or tax breaks in order to advance industry. But let's say he takes a bribe. So therefore, the guy who pays him the most will now get the rights to, produce something for the military, or will get his permission to drill for oil. In other words, what should have been fair, what should have been mishpat and tzedek and should have gone for a tender and for open opportunity, is now given to whoever slips me, you know, a few $10,000, a few $1 million. And that means that I'm essentially, and I come back to, a chahaitalazona, I'm just a prostitute. I'm willing to sell my honor for money. Things aren't going to be fair if I am going to be in a situation where I am going to sell my priorities to whoever gives me money. That's not going to be an honest situation. Yerushalayim can't be a city of Mishpat that way, or Tzedek. And of course, then, who am I going to favor? I'm only going to favor people who will pay me. And who's going to lose out? The poorer classes, the Atom, the Almana. As a result of that, we create a culture whereby the wealthy can just have their way. And the poor have no recourse because there is no fairness. And if there's no fairness, people are going to die. Because the poor won't have money to eat. The poor will be beaten up and slaved away. And that's what we see in the book of Yirmiyahu, the way that people treat their slaves. And this is what it's saying, right? Everybody's willing to water down the wine, right? To water down the gas at the petrol station. And he says, Yatom lo yishpotu, v'rubel mana lo yavoyehem. Nobody's going to take care for the widow or the orphan. And therefore, what does God say? I'm going to have to purify Yerushalayim, and I'm going to purge them. V'ashiva shoftai k'varashana v'yotza k'vatchila. And I'm going to purify Yerushalayim. Acharechein yikarei lach ira tzedek kiryanem ana ben. You will indeed be pure. Tzion v'mishpat tipadeh v'shaveh b'tzedakah. Jerusalem has to be restored to justice. In other words, what do we have here? We have a situation where Jerusalem, if it doesn't express its loyalty to Tzedek, will become Sodom and Amorah. And what is it about? Will you take the money? Let's remind ourselves of Avraham. Ten li hanefesh, varuchush kachlach. Avraham, the king of Sodom, wanted to buy Avraham off. Malki Tzedek said, just pledge your allegiance to God and leave Sodom alone. Sodom is about a situation where there is no opportunity. It's about, again, it's the same idea. What can you do for me? If the officers of Jerusalem, if the government is only interested in filling their pockets, then they are not going to be involved in, they're going to say, what can you do for me? Not how can we serve you? You're not a public servant, then the public is serving you. That is a reversal of how things should be. So this is quite a statement. Yerushalayim can become Sodom. Let me give you the other option. The other option is that Sodom becomes Yerushalayim. And what do I mean? Let's take a look at the text number 6 and text number 7. And then we'll go back to Yeshayahu. If we look at, now we're going to see a couple of very crazy images. The first one's from Zechariah chapter 14, which I believe is a haftorah that we read on Chag HaSukkot, I think on the first day of Sukkot, if I'm not mistaken. Then we'll look at Yechezkel, which is the parallel image. This is a very apocalyptic image, an image of end of days, wherein, let's take a look here. I haven't taken from the beginning of the parak, so let me open my Tanakh to Zechariah. Where we read the following. The parrot begins, Hinei yom ba l'Hashem v'chulak shalech b'kirbeich. The day is going to come when your spoils will be divided in you. And v'asafti al kol agim al Yerushalayim l'melchama. All of the goyim will come to Yerushalayim for war. V'nilkada ha'ir, the city will be captured. And all sorts of awful things happen. But then let's take a look what happens. Pasuk Dalet. Okay? Vamdu raglav bayomahu. God's feet will stand on that day al har hazeitim. On har hazeitim. Ashal pnei Yerushalayim ikenem. Venivkach har hazeitim mechitio mizracha vayama geit dola meod umash chati ha'ar tafonu v'chati gneva. The Mount of Olives is going to split into two. And what will happen? Okay? By the way, is I say, here, Pasuk Chet. So let's look at Pasuk Chet. Vaya beyomahu, yitzu maim chayim Yerushalayim, chetziyam ala yama kadmuni, v'chetziyam ala yama acharon. And on that day, water should come out from Yerushalayim, half to the Mediterranean Sea, half to the Dead Sea, the other way around, sorry. Yama kadmoni is the Dead Sea, and the Yama Charon is the Mediterranean Sea. Bekaitu v'choref hashgiyeh. V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. And God will be king over the whole world. However, Yisov kol ha'aretz mi'arava mi'gevel rimon nege Yerushalayim. The whole land, the Arava, which is the Jordan Valley, will, well, you know, let's take a look at the parallel image in Yechezkel. Now, again, I want you to remember, go back to source number four. Let's remember Gan Eden. What happened in Gan Eden? You have a Garden of Eden with trees and Pasuk Yud. But now, Har Yotzei Me'Eden, a river comes out from Eden, and then it splits into four tributaries. So now let's take a look at Zechariah 2. Yechezkel as well. Yechezkel, again, very sort of strange imagery in Yechezkel. What does he say? Yeshiveinu al petach habayit. Yechezkel finds himself at the entrance to the Beit HaMikdash. Avinei mayim yotzim mitachat miftan habayit, kadima. And water is coming out of the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. Ki pnei habayit kadim, v'hamayim yordim mitachat mikatef hagei habayit hayamanit minegev lemezbeach. The water is coming out, trickling out of the doorway of the house. You know what? Let me read just the bolded bits of the sheet. Pasuk Gimel. B'tzeita ish kadim v'kav biyado uman elef ba'amah. At the beginning, the waters are only me'afasayim. They're waters which are not very high. And then, Pasuk Dalet, we measure again, and the waters become waist high. And then, then it goes to Mayim Birkayim. And then it goes to Me'imot Nayim. And then, Pasuk Hey, you go another Elef Amma, and I can't even cross the waters. Ki Goa Mayim, Me'ishachu Nachal Ashelo Yaver. There is a nachal raging with water. And what happens here? Pasuk Zayin. B'shuveni v'ne'al svata nachal eitz rav ma'od mizeh u'mizeh. This is Gan Eden imagery. There are loads of trees and there's water coming out. And where does the water go? And he says, Pasuk Chet. V'yome elai ha'mayim ha'eli yosim ala gliya kadmona. They're going to go in a easterly direction. V'yaldura arava. They'll go down to the Jordan Valley. Uvayu hayama al hayama. They're going to go into the Dead Sea. V'nirpa'u hamayim. And the waters of the Dead Sea will be yield. V'haya kol nefesh chaya she'yishrotz ala kol she'yavo sham nachalayim. Yeh v'haya adagar rabod ba'od kibau sham ha'amayim ha'ele. V'yirpu v'chay kol she'yavo sham nachal. V'amdu alav davagim mi'en gedi. What's he saying? Water is going to come out of Jerusalem. It's going to flow into the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea is not going to be dead anymore. The Dead Sea is going to be alive. The Dead Sea is going to have fish, and fishermen are going to go out from En Gedi, and their catch will be as great as the Yam HaGadol. What am I saying here? I'm saying this image of water emerging from Jerusalem is imagining Jerusalem as Gan Eden. This week's parasha, we're going to read B'chukotai. And B'chukotai says, V'natati mishkani b'tochachem. I'm going to put my mishkan amongst you, v'iti lachem l'elohim. And then he says, V'italachti b'chukotachem. Once Hashem is, we have a mishkan, we have a Beit HaMikdash, Hashem can be mitalech, Rashi says, like in Gan Eden. God's presence in the Mikdash, like as in Gan Eden, inside Gan Eden, inside the Mikdash of the Kruvim, inside the Mikdash is the eighth Chaim here, and water comes out from Yerushalayim and heals Sodom, heals the Dead Sea. Now the Dead Sea can sustain animal life, it can sustain fish, and it will be sustained life. What am I saying? Yishayahu? Jerusalem, when it doesn't do tzedek, can become like Sodom. And in the time of Mashiach, or in the ultimate end of days, Yerushalayim is so powerful that water comes out and heals Sodom. Why? And now look at our source number 8. Shimu Eli Rod Feit Tzedek. Those who seek justice, Mevakshei Hashem, Habito Tzur Chutzaten. Where is the quarry you were dug from? Where is the system that you were taken from? Habitu El Avram Avichem Vel Sarah Tzulankan. You come from Avram. You come from Sarah. If you look for Tzedek, by the way, notice in Pasuk Aleph, to be Mevakesh Hashem is to be Rodev Tzedek. Ki Echad Karativ Avarchem Va'arbehu. Ki Nicham Hashem Tzion Nicham Korchovoteha. Niyasen Midbaraka Eden. Because when Hashem comes and comforts Sion, when he comforts all of its choravot, he turns the Midbar into Eden, and he turns the Arava, the Jordan Valley, into Gan Hashem, into Gan Eden. Why? Because Yerushalayim is a place of Tzedek, because Yerushalayim represents Avram and Sarah, because Yerushalayim represents the place that you see guests. You don't say, how can I dominate them? You say, how can I give you something to eat? You say, what can I do for you? Not what can you do for me? You look out for people. You have a sense of tzedek. You have a sense of mishpat. You have a sense of chesed. That's Avram Avichem. That's Sarat Cholalchem. And once you do that, right? Sason v'simcha yimatzeba toda v'kol zimra. Yerushalayim has the ability.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
I just want to clarify. You're saying that is like with Jews, if they act as if they are Sodom in general, or specifically in Jerusalem, God will come and forgive and they can change back into Jerusalem.
Right, it's a good question, right? I would argue it's anywhere. But since Yerushalayim is our seat of government, since Yerushalayim, and he's blaming the leadership here, the Kitzinei Sodom Amamora, I think we're talking about the broad culture. But since Yerushalayim is the seat of government, it's blamed on Yerushalayim. But I think it can be anywhere in our country.
Yeah, okay.
So I have another question.
Sure.
When going through these different sources, I kind of see it from a different perspective, which is that it's not necessarily that Yerushalayim can become Sodom and Sodom can become Yerushalayim, but that everyone has the potential and every place has the potential to reach the heights of Yerushalayim, but because of the inherent sanctity of Yerushalayim, therefore, when Yerushalayim goes down a slope and loses its Kedusha, there has to be something done in order to then revive that level that they should be held to. And that it can't, like, in essence, Yerushalayim can't actually turn into stone.
Okay, I hear you. What you're saying is, through galut and through dislocation and through, God will never let Jerusalem descend to Sodom and Amora. Although I have to say, the destruction of the notion of korban is almost like doing a Sodom to Yerushalayim, because you know you're really destroying it and laying it waste, and then we have to begin again. But you're right.
At least from what I've learned, Sodom is destroyed to the point where it can't then be done again, right? It's not brought to ashes and then rebuilt. It's brought to ashes and then remains that.
Well, that's what I find so fascinating about this notion of the Arava turning to Gan Hashem. In other words, the Gan Hashem being restored to the Arava, the fish being restored to the Dead Sea. It's almost like saying, when Yerushalayim is so overabundant with tzedek, the healing will extend to the entire land. You know, I don't think these are meant literally, maybe they are, I don't know, but I think maybe we're agreeing, and you're saying that in a sense these are metaphors, these are statements about sort of cultures, values. Maybe we're agreeing here, and I'm saying this is almost like a symbolic paradigm which is being given.
Yeah, no, that I definitely agree with. I see it as, I see there being a difference in terms of the typical perception of Stoma and its the permanence of its destruction, and the attitude that we have, you know, the second that the Beta Magdash is destroyed, there's this hope and yearning for its rebuilding. And I think that is inherently part of Yerushalayim's identity and its Kedusha, which differentiates it from other places.
Okay, so you're saying God's willing to give up on Sodom, but he'll never give up on Yerushalayim. So that's a very nice point. But as we go into the week, next week, of Yom Yerushalayim, I think it's really, to me, this shiur speaks loudly, and it speaks loudly because we have entered into power history in our modern age, and Baruch Hashem we have. I would never want to go back to a state where Am Yisrael were powerless. I want us to have an army, and I want us to be able to defend Jews in Israel and around the world. I'm delighted that, you know, if I want to put it this way, that 22 years after Jews as a bedraggled group marched out of the gates of Auschwitz, Chayalei Tzva Hagana Lisrael marched through the gates of Yerushalayim. There's nothing which makes me happier. And yet, we would be mistaken if we would see our work as done by developing the Kotel Plaza and building Mamila Mall and, you know, developing the light rail in Jerusalem, because Yerushalayim, as our center, has to be cognizant of the notion of justice, of tzedek. It has to be a compassionate place. It has to be a legal place. It has to be a place which is allergic to bribery. It has to be, our government has to be a government which fosters a culture which are exactly these values of Rodfei Tzedek, right? Rodef Tzedek, which is spoken about by Yeshayahu. And if we want...
It seems so impossible with the government of Israel at the moment, just like how it's being run and how much, you know, corruption is involved with everything, that it seems like so far off from what Jerusalem should be trying to achieve with it.
So I think this is exactly our mission. By the way, I would hope that in general in the Israeli government, things are better than they sound. I know Bibi's under trial, but as many people have said, you know, some people want to say, well, what are you trying Bibi for? It's what every leader does. And in that regard, I'm very proud that Israel has said, wait, we see what our leader, you know, one of the most, you know, incredible Rosh Hashanah we've ever had, the longest sitting Rosh Hashanah who's got a huge following. And yet we're willing to put him on trial because we believe that we have to hold our leaders up to a very high standard. So in that regard, I see you can look at it with a silver lining. You can look at it with the cup half full or the cup half empty. What I'm saying is on Yom Yerushalayim, as we celebrate our return to Yerushalayim, we have to remember, and by the way, I think this is an avoda. This is a sort of work that we need to be constantly engaged in, trying to make Yerushalayim. And by the way, I think in any government, there is always, you know, with power that comes the possibility of corruption. You know, it's very easy for those of us who are not in situations where we have huge budgets of millions and millions of dollars going through our table. It's very easy for us to say, well, if I was in that situation, I wouldn't take the money. But we're not in that situation. I almost say, you know, God, don't test me in that regard. Because when the temptation's in front of you, who knows how we hope we would act well. But we've all got a Yetzer Hara. And therefore, I would prefer to look at it this way, that, you know, part of our mission with our Supreme Court here in Israel is to ensure that we have clean government. And the fact that this is part of what we're aware of, and that this is on the newspaper, the front pages of the newspaper, is in a sense the, you know, the words of the prophet writ large in our modern history. And by the way, let's not pretend that there wasn't corruption going on in the time of Ben Gurion, and lots of that was going on too. You know, Moshe Dayan wasn't a paragon of virtue, and you know, many of his many of the senior leaders of Israel during those times also had their issues. So all I wanted to, what I wanted to say is that this is the important element we need to have our minds to as we're saying Hallel on Yom Yerushalayim, and as we're thinking about Yerushalayim, is that we want Yerushalayim to be at the center of the Jewish world, and it is. It is the center of the Jewish world, and thank God for that. And it's amazing that every denomination, every group, from the most Haredi to even the most liberal, pretty much have their centers here in Yerushalayim. And yet, Yerushalayim isn't only our capital. It's not only, it needs to be Kimitzion Teitzei Torah. It needs to be the center of an Orla Goyim. It needs to be a place where we're constantly keeping in mind those virtues of Tzedek and Mishpat, that choice between Melech Sedom and Malki Tzedek is always in front of us, and always to be aware of that choice. And like with Abraham, to make the right one. So I think we will leave it there. And those are some thoughts for Yom Yerushalayim. Again, I'm not here to give grades. I'm here to say that this is a constant challenge and a constant mission that we have to live up to. So thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Have a good night.